Gareth Jones. I'll be chairing the meeting this morning. If you've got a mobile phone, can you make sure that it's at least on silent mode? And can I ask any members from the public here to refrain from commenting while the process is taking place? There is no alarm planned for this morning, but in the event of an emergency, can you please leave the building by the nearest exit and staff will be here to show you the way out. On my right, I've got officers from the planning department, and on my left, I've got officers from the legal department. Officers from the planning department will present the application, and members of the public who have indicated to speak will be given, as it's a major application, will be given 10 minutes at the table, and will indicate when there's a minute left. Ward members will also be entitled to 10 minutes if they need it. This meeting is recorded and will be published on the council website. I remind members of the committee that they can only deal with planning applications in accordance with National Planning Policy Framework and the new local plan and in any other relevant planning matters. Members of the committee are reminded that they do not enjoy any immunity as that enjoyed by colleagues in Parliament. We can now move on to the agenda. We've got apologies.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. Apologies received from Councillor Beattie and Councillor Edgela, who is substituted today by Councillor Phillips.
Thank you. Any declarations? Interest or lobbying?
Could I also give Councillor Pardes's apologies, please? And I declare I've been lobbied on the first application, but I haven't predetermined it.
Yeah, the first application, we're dealing with a special application.
Yes, yeah. That's correct, the polyhouses.
And the same.
And the same, okay, we've got that.
Yes, thank you.
I feel we've all been lobbied from the signs up as we drove round.
Okay. So you've got to know to that.
Yes, thank you.
Can I ask you to start then, please?
Yes, sure. Thank you, Chair. So the location plan shows the extent of the site outlined in red. The 18.7 hectare site is located to the west of Derrington. And an aerial view of the site. Immediately to the north is a disused railway line, now the Way for the Millennium footpath. To the northeast are residential properties, including the Grade 2 listed Stourbrook Hall. To the east and southeast are open fields, and to the west and southwest are fields covered with polytunnels at the adjacent Durnsdale Farm. The photo plan shows the location of the following photos. As you've seen from the site visit, and you'll see from the following photos, during the determination of the application, the works have been partially completed. Image 1 is looking west from the site access. Image 2 is looking north from within the centre of the site. Image 3 is looking northwest towards the access and neighbouring dwellings behind the conifers. Image 4 is looking northwest. Image 5 is looking west. Image 6 is looking north adjacent to the western boundary. Image 7 is looking northeast from the western boundary. Image 8 is looking east from the western boundary, and Stafford Castle is here in this mound. And image 9 is within the polyhouses. Plan 1 is the proposed site plan. The proposal is for a phased installation of 3 hectares of polyhouses and approximately 8 hectares for a ground source heat recovery system, together with an associated plant and machinery building, water management silos, detention basin pond, and landscaping. The polyhouses would be for growing soft fruits. The polyhouses in phase 1 and 2, these ones here, have been completed and the detention basin has started to be dug out. Plan 2 is the proposed elevations. Since the committee papers were published, we've received one additional letter of support. The proposed development is considered to be acceptable in principle, as it would support the rural economy and agricultural diversification. The polyhouses and associated equipment are functional in appearance, and the submitted landscape and visual impact assessment concludes that the development would have a very limited effect on the landscape character and visual receptors. The submitted heritage impact assessment concludes that the proposal would not cause substantial harm to any designated heritage assets. Comments of concern have been received from Historic England and a strong objection from the Council's Conservation Officer. It is considered that the development would cause less than substantial harm to heritage assets, and when factoring in the public benefits, which are listed in the report, are considered to outweigh the harms to heritage assets. A condition is recommended to secure archaeological investigation on the undeveloped sections of the site. The development is considered to be acceptable with regards to highway safety, subject to the recommended conditions regarding the access, surfacing and wheel wash facilities. The development would incorporate the public right-of-way, which runs through the site within the proposed woodland planting buffer. The proposal includes the provision of a drainage basin to capture surface water runoff, which would be used for irrigation. The Environment Agency and Flood Authority have raised no objections to the scheme, subject to adhering to the agreed drainage plan. This is secured by condition and should be implemented within 3 months. The development is not considered to impact upon protected species, nor boundary hedges or trees, and the scheme would provide a 60-metre wide woodland planting buffer, the details of which would be secured via condition. Finally, the proposal is not considered to impact upon residential amenity. In conclusion, the proposal is considered to comply with the development plan and NPPF and is recommended for approval subject to conditions. Thank you.
Thank you. Is it the objector here, Ms. Davies?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. As I said earlier, you have 10 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You could address seated if you like.
No, I'm fine, thank you. Okay.
Just before you start, I've got a series of photographs from you. Can you say when you want them moved on?
Absolutely, yes. Thanks very much. Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm speaking to represent the voices of well over 100 objectors who have written to the local planning authority to express major concerns regarding this development. Local residents are dismayed that the applicant has been allowed to proceed with this major development and construct the polyhouses and ground source heat system without planning permission. This total disregard for the planning process sets a dangerous precedent that others will surely follow, and is highly detrimental to the quality of life of communities in the borough. We object strongly to this application on several grounds. However, I'd like to point out that we do strongly support local farmers and sustainable farming. Principle of development. The officer's report recommends approval of this application largely based on the view that it contributes to an economically prosperous rural economy. However, we question this and ask, how many jobs have been created and filled by local people? How much money is recycled and spent within the local rural economy by overseas workers? Have the negative economic impacts of the development been taken into account? These include blight on local house prices, impact on public infrastructure, including costly road damage, economic cost of the mental and physical health impact of the development on neighbours and the local community, and the economic costs of the reduction of ecosystem services, i.e. the benefits to humans provided by healthy ecosystems, including clean air and water, and climate change mitigation. In looking at the basic conflicting policy factors, i.e. economic growth versus the environment and public well-being protection, we feel insufficient weight has been given to the latter in this report. I will elaborate. Impact on landscape character. Please see slide one. From this slide, it's clear that the development has a major impact on the landscape and landscape character. In reality, this is an industrial-scale development in a rural area. The development is huge. The polyhouses will extend to over 7 acres at a height of 24 feet, with associated infrastructure such as the water silos. Unlike polytunnels, the construction is permanent. Objections and concerns have been raised by the Council's own Conservation Officer, Heritage England and CPRE Staffordshire, who state the development should not be allowed to cause significant damage to the environment and the interests and amenity of local residents should be taken into account and protected. The development falls down on both of these. An argument made in the officer's report is that the extent of existing polytunnels already creates a huge negative visual impact on the countryside. The implication is that it is trashed already, so anything goes. Stafford Borough deserves better than this. Heritage conservation. A heritage impact assessment was submitted to consider impacts on Stafford Castle, Bury Ring and Stourbrook Court. It concluded that the development would not cause substantial harm to any heritage assets. Historic England, however, has several concerns regarding height and scale and permanent negative change to the landscape, and as stated, the Council's own conservation officer strongly objects as the development is harmful and contrary to planning policy. Archaeology. Appallingly, because the construction is almost complete, it is not possible to undertake the archaeological evaluation recommended. Transport and access. Traffic to the polyhouses uses Crossing Lane, a tiny, narrow, single-track rural lane with one tight passing lane. Several bumps and near misses have already occurred. Crossing Lane is already busy and dangerous. Huge tractors and trailers moving amid disability scooters, wheelchairs, pedestrians, many of whom are elderly. It is popular with local people and visitors, walkers, runners, cyclists and horse riders. Slide 2, please. The recently resurfaced crossing lane has already been damaged by heavy farm vehicles with numerous potholes. The banks and hedgerows have also suffered damage, in turn resulting in mud and silt on the road. The farming... A couple living at the end of Crossing Lane have abandoned their daily habit of walking down the lane altogether due to the fear of meeting large farm vehicles. The no HGV sign is there for a reason, but is ignored. Next slide, please. And the next slide, please. That's unsuitable for heavy goods vehicles. The main point here is that Crossing Lane cannot cope with this traffic. Yet the Highways Authority raised no objection to the scheme, saying there are no highway concerns. An objector has noted that the County Council's highway contractors, Amy, have a depot at the applicant's industrial site and wondered if these close relationships should be a concern. Flooding and drainage. Local residents are very worried that the polyhouse development will exacerbate flooding incidents and risk. Water already runs off these fields onto the track and down Crossing Lane. Further concerns relate to the safety of the new lake built behind Stourbrook Hall. What is the contingency plan if this brims over? The flood risk assessment concludes there is largely a very low surface water flooding risk across the area. However, the term largely a very low risk does not instill public confidence. The Environment Agency have provided advice to the applicant regarding potential permits required if the application is approved. Can we have the next slide and the following slide, please? Incidentally, this year, during the August heatwave, Mr. Busby diverted the watercourse which normally feeds into Stourbrook Hall Lane, impounding it without authorisation, as the slides show. However, all pipes and evidence of the activity were removed in the days before an inspection by the Environment Agency. According to the EA, potential breaches of legislation were made. The incident has been classed as a Category 3 incident, but it was not witnessed by EA staff. What guarantees are there that the applicant will follow regulations in the future? Pollution and waste, etc. The Environment Agency originally objected to this development, one of their serious concerns being pollution issues. Local residents share these concerns regarding pollution, including to soil, air and water, especially from chemicals and plastics. The farming practices produce much waste, including organic waste as well as plastic. Can I have the next slide, please? One method Mr. Busby uses to dispose of waste is through burning it. Earlier this year, several large fires were set on Mr. Busby's lands, causing a range of problems, including difficulty breathing and sore eyes, and an acrid smell of smoke, smoke across the M6, and thick smoke across Derrington Lane, causing hazardous driving conditions. Next slide, please. Police and fire services attended several times, as well as the local environmental health officer. Next one, please. Please look at the closely at these slides. Mr. Busby claimed that he was burning raspberry canes, waste management issues at the development site must raise serious concerns. There's one more picture, I think, to do with this. Okay. Wildlife and biodiversity. The ecological report for this development proposal states the area is of negligible importance from a nature conservation perspective, given its management and high level of disturbance. What would David Attenborough think? Brown hares, badgers, stoats, tawny owls, barn owls, woodpeckers and great crested newts are present in the vicinity. If there is negligible conservation value, this should be urgently remedied through better stewardship of the land by the farmer in order to aid nature recovery. Consultation. Parish councils were consulted on this application. Hyde Lea Parish Council had concerns regarding the impact of the development on Crossing Lane and suggested that site and PC are invited to comment as the development affects their residents. Horton Parish Council raised concerns regarding vehicle and traffic access to the site and the permanency of the polyhouses. However, Syford Parish Council raised no objections to this development, despite the clear and significant impacts on the local community and local environment. Interestingly, Mr. Busby, the applicant, is vice chair of the Parish Council. No members of the public were present at the meeting. The lack of any objection from Syford Parish Council is very worrying. The officer's report. The development will provide additional facilities to the farm and subsequently contribute to the local economy. The development is not considered to impact upon highway safety, residential amenity or biodiversity. The public benefits afforded by the proposal would substantially outweigh harm to the heritage assets. The conclusion of the officer's report is wrong. It is hard to identify any public benefits from this development. Profits will accrue to the farmer, developer. The majority of workers' earnings will be exported and will not benefit the local economy significantly. Highway safety, residential amenity and biodiversity will certainly be severely impacted.
Yeah.
And planning regulations and several other regulations have been broken and the development is well underway. The balance of all planning considerations must lead to this application being rejected. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Mrs. Pratt Busby, you want to come to the table, please? I understand that you're all going to speak for about 8 minutes and then hand over to your colleague.
That's correct.
Thank you. When you're ready and comfortable, please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I appreciate the opportunity to speak at this meeting. My name is Helen Busby and I run Billington Farm along with my husband, John Busby. We are a family-run business and have grown soft fruit since 1976 with the introduction of polytunnels in 1996. However, circumstances have changed within the industry. Growers are being encouraged to extend the growing season, which is currently from May to October, to a more permanent system. This would allow British fruit production to start earlier in the year, from March, and finish later at the end of November. Our industry is largely driven by supermarkets' requirements, which demand fruit on the shelves for 12 months of the year. This is also endorsed by our marketing group, Berry Gardens, who fully support this project. At present, this results in fruit having to be brought in during the winter months from around the world in the cargo hold of aircraft, generating a high carbon footprint. We have calculated the fruit produced in the new poly house will save the equivalent of 39,395 kilograms of carbon dioxide every year by swapping British fruit with imports from Morocco, Spain and Holland. The heated poly house will give us the opportunity to extend our growing season, and as a result, we will be able to retain approximately 30 workers for almost 12 months of the year. These employees will all pay UK tax and national insurance. Green energy. The fruit grown in the poly house will use heat generated from our ground source heat pump. The surface of the large outdoor area that houses the underground source heating will be cultivated as a wild flower meadow, attractive to insects, birds and other wildlife. The application for this meadow has already been accepted by the Countryside Stewardship Programme. The surrounding environments will be further enhanced by the proposed tree planting scheme. Environmental gains over traditional polytunnels. There will be 66% more strawberries being grown in the new polyhouse system, meaning less surface area is needed to produce the same tonnage of fruit. Inside the polyhouse, we have installed an electronic energy saving screen. This works like a blanket to spread over the crop, keeping 60% of the heat inside the building. The environment that a fruit crop is grown in has an overruling impact on the health, vigour and productivity that a grower can achieve. Controlling the temperature and humidity within the polyhouse will ensure the plants are growing at their optimum status, which will in turn lead to fewer incidences of poor health or stress within the cropping system. As plants grow, they become susceptible to disease and pest attack at critical growth stages. This can be reduced by controlling the environment, as with a polyhouse. This in turn will lead to less reliance on synthetic fungicides and insecticides being applied to the crop. The roof fence to be installed will have an anti-insect net, preventing insects getting into the crop, further reducing the need for pesticide applications. Compared to existing tunnels, there will be less fruit wasted due to less wind and rain damage. Some points to consider regarding the environmental credentials of the polyhouse structure. The polythene on a normal tunnel will last approximately 5 years. The polythene on the polyhouse will last at least twice as that long due to it being fixed in place. The polythene is 100% recyclable at the end of its useful life and is in demand by recyclers. The sealed structure is from a 100% recycled source. The Eden project also chose to build an IMA structure, the same structure as ours, in preference to all other growing structures, as it has the least impact in terms of carbon dioxide in its production and building. Along with the foregoing benefits, the rainwater will be collected from the roof of the building and held in a reservoir. This water will then be used for irrigating the growing crop. The reservoir, once established, will also have a clear environmental benefit, encouraging flora and fauna. Food security. You'll all have heard that we are now, more than ever before, on our own in this country. As a result, the need for home-produced food has never been greater. We contribute to this cause, which will be further enhanced by the introduction of the heated polyhouse and extension of the season for soft fruit production. In June this year, the government announced a Grow for Britain strategy, encouraging farmers to produce more fruit and vegetables in the wake of record inflation. The application. This application was validated on the 7th of April 2020. After which there has followed a long period of time for the authority to research their response. Prior to this, the building was designed and all relevant consultees briefed to construct the planning application. These consultees were landscaping and visual impact, transport and access, heritage and conservation, archaeology, public rights of way, drainage, water quality and flooding, ecology, trees and hedgerows, residential amenity. This led to a package of information which resulted in an officer's recommendation to approve the application. All matters now appear to be settled except archaeology. One element remains to be finally considered and made the subject of a planning condition. That is the area to the east of the site adjacent to Storbrooks Hall Farmhouse, which is singled out for further archaeology to identify the location and extent of an outer moat, should it even exist. This area is proposed for tree planting with native woodland to screen the formed farmhouse from the proposed polyhouse and will therefore remain available for the survey. During the latter stages of the council's determination process, now extending to over 2.5 years, premature commencement of this project with its inherent risk appeared to be the only way forward for our business to thrive. Any concern was mitigated to some extent by receiving technical reports from various consultants, all appearing to be supportive of our proposal. Having given considerable thought to the matter and weighing up the pressing need to sustain the well-being of our business and its employees, we felt we must move forward with this much-needed development. As farmers, we can assure you that the Polly House is essential to continue and to further develop our soft fruit business. Bearing in mind the cost of such a venture, the Polly House is not a whim, a vanity project, a frippery. It is one small step to help serve to protect our nation from the rigour of isolation and the problems of global warming. We understood the danger in proceeding...
Your 8 minutes is nearly up.
Okay, we understood the danger in proceeding without formal permission, but having experienced a 2.5 delay for a matter that should only take 3 to 4 months, the potential was found to be irreversible. We welcome the officer's considered decision to recommend the approval and ask the members to approve our planning application. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is David Rawsford and I've lived in Derrington for most of my life and would like to thank John and Helen for allowing me to speak in support of the Polly House. As soon as the planning application was made public, I visited the site and came to the conclusion that there would be no detrimental impact on the local community, and then submitted a letter of support for the proposal. If passed, it would provide soft fruit earlier and later in the season. This would help reduce imports and in return help reduce the carbon footprint of the country, which in these times of global warming and high energy costs can only be good. The visual impact of the Polly House is very low, as only 2 properties are able to see it, and these are over 0.5 mile away. Even from the disused railway line, it is virtually screened by existing trees, and in fact there has never been a view of Berry Ring from that position on the railway line. In my letter of support, I mentioned that there was a partly blocked culvert which runs under the disused railway line at Crossings Cottage, which takes water from the land from the northern side of Berry Ring and had caused flooding to Crossings Lane in the past. This has now been removed by a local resident, alleviating the problem, and it is no longer an issue. As a beekeeper, the planting of the wildflower meadow and trees will benefit my bees as well as other wildlife. I hope that the committee will accept this planning application. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The ward member, Mark, would you like to address the committee?
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, and thank you all for attending and on this important local matter. Just if we can bear with me 2 seconds, I just want to make a bit of a statement as a local member. This application, as already been said, was registered on the 7th of April 2020. And I know we've had COVID, and I know we've had issues with people having to work from home and technology issues around contacting each other. But I do feel that 2.5 years is unacceptable both to the applicant and to the objectors. In terms of talking on the application in front of us, we've got a very successful business in terms of AJ Busby. We've seen a lot of what they've done and we've heard a lot, so I'm not going to go any further on into the business itself. But it is an important business and it does create a lot of benefits, as has been said. The other thing I would quickly like to say is that there's several strawberry enterprises in my ward. This one in particular does try to engage with the community. We've had problems in the past, and a lot of those problems have been solved, particularly around mud on the road. So I think it's only fair that I should say that. In terms of this application, again, I think it's unacceptable to have three consultations, two in 2020 and one this year. It puts the onus on local people to have to keep putting their views forwards. And to that account, if you look in the papers, it does actually point out that there's been 305 letters and 152 representations. So there's a lot of local concern about this, and also support as well, as we've just heard from Mr. Rawsthorne. Bearing in mind that the development has partly started, I've got one or two questions again as local member. The first one is on page 13, 4.16, and that's around the archaeology. The county archaeologist recommended a condition before building started of a 2% trial trench, and also a 1% contingency on the ground to the east. Now, the ground to the east hasn't been developed, but the 2%, I'd like to know what officers think that should be done about that. On page 13, again, 5.3, the conditions were proposed around wheel washing and a 5-metre tarmac pad at the road edge. Has that been done, or is that going to be a condition? That's another question as local member. And then page 14, 6.2, Stallbrook Hall. Now, it doesn't mention in here in the history, but in the past we've had some serious flooding around Stallbrook Hall, to the point where it actually washed out the septic tanks and it caused a lot of concern locally. Are these conditions, and are the officers happy that this won't happen again, particularly as has been mentioned with the changes in weather environments and extreme weather events? As I say, as a local member, I think it's only right we should bring those things forwards. And then the real concern for me in this application is on page 10 and 11, and that is around historic England and the castle and Bury Ring. Now, if you look through the report, which I'm sure you all have, it does say that Historic England objected originally to the application, and then have come to a situation where they've now said they're concerned with the magnitude of impact, and that's around permanent negative change, not just affecting the two monuments, but also the landscape around Stallbrook Hall. Again, in the report, the conservation officer objected to development around Stallbrook, and I think the important thing for this committee is, as it states in the conclusion on page 18, which I think is fairly pertinent. 2 seconds, Chair. One of the last parts of the paragraph. And it does say, the scheme, this is 9.1, the scheme would have limited visual impacts upon this historic landscape and will cause less than substantial harm impact the setting of nearby heritage assets. It is considered that the public benefit afforded by this proposal would substantially outweigh the harm caused to the heritage assets. For me, the discussion around heritage assets, Bury Ring and the castle are important. All of the rest of the concerns have been put forward in letters by the speakers tonight, this afternoon.
This morning.
It's been a long day. So I'd ask the committee to look carefully at all the issues that have been brought forward. It is a complicated application. It is about the economy, about the rural economy, about food miles and such like, but it's also about the impact on local areas and also the heritage as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Do you want to comment on the conditions point?
I'll let Vanessa do that in a minute, but I just want to comment on a couple of points that were raised in terms of time scale. So first of all, the applicant referred to the time this application has taken. If you look on page 19, the SCC, Lead Local Flood Authority, they're in chronological order. So if you look from the bottom, responses May 20, January 21, February 21, April 21, July 21, December 21. All of those are saying the applicant needs to do more. And it is only when we get to 10th of February this year that the Lead Local Flood Authority is satisfied with the proposals. So as you can see, there's been 8 consultations to and from the Lead Local Flood Authority. And just the other thing I wanted to mention in terms of what Councillor Winnington said then about the reconsultation of neighbours, it's something we have an obligation to do. If there's a material change in the proposal, if things are relocated within the site, something like that, there could be a different impact than people originally saw. So we would be at fault if we didn't reconsult on occasions like that. So I take on board that this is 2.5 years later. The other thing I would say though is that I think this report was originally looking at July, committee in July, but the applicant wanted to address the landscaping issues to avoid a landscape condition. We agreed that a reasonable period of time for that didn't come in. So the applicant then said they weren't going to do that, so hence why it's in a condition. But the last few months, July to now in effect, has again been for that reason. So I think just in terms of looking at two dates, it's a bit misleading. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do you want to comment on the condition issues?
Yeah, with regards to the archaeological condition, I went back to the archaeological team at County Council and said, does your recommended condition still work, given that the works have started on site? And they were happy it does. Obviously, we can't do any investigation on the bits of land that have already been developed, but the important bits are closer to Stourbrook Hall, which haven't been developed yet. So that condition still works in their mind. The highway conditions are attached and says, I think it's within 3 months. Yeah, within 3 months, the wheel wash facility and the access surfacing have to be completed. That was the conditions. Thank you.
Are you happy with those responses?
Could I have a yes, no? Are you convinced that the flooding, given the 100-year flood risk, which is now probably 20-year flood risk with the climate change we've seen, are officers happy that the relevant authorities think that this won't happen again?
So, as John said, the flood team responded in February this year. So they will have been looking at up-to-date records that they hold, the updated information provided by the applicant, and they came to a conclusion that the flooding information was acceptable.
Thank you.
Okay. I opened it up to committee to make any comments or ask further clarification. Councillor Trowbridge.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you to both speakers. It's made it a little clearer. I just wanted to clarify one thing that you just said, because exactly that, I was looking at the wheel wash facility. 3 months of the actual site opening, because it really should be there now when you saw the mud on site. And thank you to the applicant for putting down cardboard for us, it did help a little. But surely that should be on site already, because the mud is just everywhere. So that was my one comment about that. I did very much listen to the objectors, and And it is very sad when you see things like that smoke billowing across because they've had bonfires. Not that that is the planning consideration, but I do agree, you should be a good stewardship of your land. But going back to the actual plan, I can't see an issue with this, especially after going onto site. So could you just elaborate on the wheel wash?
The wheel wash. So the condition requires them to provide the wheel wash within 3 months of the date of the permission. So if it's approved today, within 3 months' time, they have to provide that wheel wash.
Then, Mark, is there a way to change that? Because they have started work on site, instead of waiting for permission to be granted, is there a way to change that to say that it should begin straight away?
We have to give reasonable time for it to be implemented.
I'd suggest that if you want to propose something, you could propose a variation to the wording of the condition, but as Vanessa's just said, immediately isn't reasonable. You know, you could reduce that period.
Okay.
Are you looking for that for that condition to be modified?
I'm looking at John for guidance on how long it would take to set. I mean, a wheel wash facility spraying wheels down, isn't it, with a jet wash, so to speak. It's not a major.
You would need to. Yes, you clearly need to do that where you've got a water source as well. With this, there's no point in doing it near to where the poly houses are, because then clearly you've got quite a length of road, which is what we went along today. So it needs to be by the near to the entrance.
That's right.
So there's a. I'm not saying you can't reduce it. You probably can, but there are a few things that need to be brought together to enable that to happen.
Okay. Councillor Cooper.
I'd like some clarification on what's meant by the road improvements, the surface improvements. Are we talking about crossing lane itself, or are we talking about the track through the site to the polytunnels? My concern is the little lane access is incredibly tight. If that's the only access possible into the site, then you could argue it's a problem, but there again, clearly agricultural vehicles and I guess some fairly heavy vehicles have been going down that route anyway for some time.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to be a pedestrian coming along there, meeting Livingstone as well. Again, I'm assuming that with it being soft fruit, the movement of those fruits isn't going to be like the end of year with a very large crop gone. It's going to be a constant churn of
progressive
smaller, medium vehicles down there. So, you know, trying to get my head around the impact on that small lane. I guess I'm imagining lots of smaller vehicles than campaigns of much larger vehicles. Is the road surfacing to do with crossing lane, or is it roads within the site itself?
Okay. The improvements to the road surfacing is the first 5 metres of the field track. So once you've come off crossing lane, the first 5 metres will then be concrete, and that ties in with the wheel washing facility. You wash your wheels, you drive onto the hard surfacing. There's no improvements to crossing lane itself.
Contained within the application. Councillor Phillips, you indicated.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. There were a few concerns that I had, but having looking at some of the conditions, I'm quite reassured by some of these. Any tree, hedge or shrub planted as part of the approved landscape should die within a period of 5 years. It needs to be replaced. That's something that I'm really pleased to see in this application conditions. We talked about the wheel washing already. I do want to ask a question about public right of way, though, as it's been raised. I've noticed on the application side. So there's a bridle way that runs across the property. Where would that be on the plans, please, John?
Sure.
Professor?
Yeah.
So off the top of my head, it runs along this way. It comes through the residential properties, then pops through round about here-ish, then runs through the site.
Okay, so in effect, it's not going to be interfered with in any way with this application.
No, the planting of the tree belt. Oh, sorry. Will have to include the footpath. They've not applied to divert the footpath or anything.
Okay, I know it does say here about it needing to be maintained in some way. I've no doubt that, or I understand that the applicant has already had some advice from the Rights of Way officer about this. It's not something that I feel then, unless you would advise that we need to condition them to do if it's not actually going to be affected by the development on the site.
Okay.
So I feel satisfied with that.
Thank you. Councillor McKeown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First, I think this is a fantastic approach to growing soft fruit over a longer period, and it's obviously a very high tech development, but I can't get my head around that narrow lane. That I don't think the visual impact is noticeable to many people. There's one house up on the hill that gets a view of it, but the access is a real problem for me. And just picking up on what Councillor Phillips just said about the condition about plants or trees dying within 5 years, that's been a condition on many, many applications in the past and never been monitored. The trees died and they don't get replaced. So if we are going to put that condition in, we need to have some monitoring system, some annual report, perhaps from the landowner, saying, right, 10 trees died, we've replaced them, because otherwise it never happens. Notwithstanding that, I cannot understand why highways have not had a problem with it.
But that is the situation. Councillor Hobbs? Oh, sorry, Councillor Hood was first. I'm sorry.
I would like to echo Councillor McEwen's concerns about the small road. We did, in fact, meet a vehicle as we were going along on the bus. The vehicle obviously knew the area and was able to pull over, but it was a real tight squeeze. And I just wonder what size vehicles are going to be going down that very small, narrow lane, picking up the fruit. It is a real concern to me, but I also have another concern. The reservoir that was pointed out to us, which looked as though it was quite full, there was a large pipe, a very big pipe, running alongside where we stopped our bus. So where is that water coming from to fill that reservoir? And to me, if that reservoir does overfill, which is likely in the conditions that we're seeing at the moment, is the hall going to be in jeopardy of flooding? There didn't seem to be, the reservoir's not on the map, unless that's my eyesight, that I just can't see it. But it is quite a flat area where the reservoir is. And I am concerned about that it's not shown on the map. How is it filled? Is the water going to be taken out?
Can you answer that?
Yeah, so let's get my maps work. Okay. So the reservoir we saw on site was in this area here. As you can see, it's not part of the planning application. So following this meeting, we'll have to go back and discuss whether we need to take any enforcement action or we need to decide what's going to happen with that. The approved drainage basin is here, and the conditions require within 3 months that is provided and everything connected up in accordance with the drainage plans. So I don't have any information about this reservoir here because it's not meant to be there.
Okay, Chairman. Yeah, I saw the basin. That was very full as well. The ditch was very full, obviously, water going into it. But I really am concerned about that reservoir and why it's not on the map. And I hope that we have some feedback about it after. Thank you, Chairman.
Councillor Hobbs.
I wanted to ask a question. All the old pond tunnels, will they be removed?
No.
So you're going to have those as well as this structure?
Some of them will be. This will replace them, but not all of them will be removed.
Yeah. Can you ask your questions through the chair?
Sorry, Chair. It's really concerning that the Conservation Officer, Heritage England, and the Environment Agency have all objected. I mean, I think there's, you know, complete lack of respect for the countryside all around the castle. I mean, there's houses that I've seen when I've been walking coming right up level with the golf course, and they've ripped out hedgerows all the way around that back area, and now the wildlife's being attacked at the other side. And it is really concerning, you know, if you go walking around there. I think it's ruining the biodiversity of the whole area, to be honest. You know, what's going to be left? I'm really concerned.
Councillor Nixon.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, I'm in favour of it, the principle of it. It's great, you know, saving imports and growing stuff in this country. But I've got a couple of concerns. It's about the that retention pond. It's 1 metre deep. It doesn't really seem very deep for the amount of area those polyhouses are covering. I used to use the A518 on a regular basis, and on some occasions when I was coming back into Stafford after heavy rain, the mud off the, where the polytunnels are near Derrington Lane was running like a river of mud down Derrington Lane and the A518. And my concern is that the same thing, if that thing gets full, is it's going to go down Crossing Lane in the same way. And I was wondering, is what, in the event that that starts to happen, what can we do for the residents of that area? And my second point is, the lane itself has got a sign up that it's not suitable for heavy goods vehicles. So it seems very strange to me that there's been no objection to it. Thank you, Chair. No, my concern.
Thank you. Do you want to comment at all about the point that Councillor Nixon made?
I'll just go back to the point that Councillor Hobbs made. The EA did originally object, but they removed their objection after the consultation, once more information was provided, and Historic England removed their objection and raised concerns instead. So it's just the Conservation Officer that's objecting now. Back to the pond, and if it's big enough, we're not drainage experts, so we have to rely on the county council drainage team, flood team. They have said it is acceptable and that the drainage on this site will be acceptable. It won't cause flooding to neighbouring properties, so we have to take their advice. We can't argue that. I'm not an expert in drainage, so I don't know. If there were flooding in the future to other properties, that would be something that the flood authority or the environment agency would have to look at. If the drainage has been provided in accordance with the approved documents, that's as far as we can go. We can't control any further flooding.
Thank you. Councillor Fayette, you wanted to come back.
I did. Just a couple of things. I'm assuming that there's been consultation with the owners about the under the surface ponds, that they've got the attenuation ponds. It looked like it was a very professional setup, professional build that has been done very well. So I'm assuming that the size is something that the people that have built it or advised the farm, that is the appropriate size for the type of soil, etc. And I've no doubt that if there are any issues relating to that, then Environmental Health Officer surely is going to raise concerns at a later point. So that I'm okay with. I'm disappointed that the tree officer hasn't responded, even though he was asked to. He was consulted but didn't provide any comments. That makes life difficult. There are pros and cons to this site, and I understand both sides. I think for me, on balance, we're looking at a development that's going to be providing fruit for the majority of the year for our local shops, for the UK, and that's going to mean that we're not going to have to import. For me, knowing that there will be an offset on the carbon footprint makes a huge difference. It's not a place that I would have liked to have seen these, no. Do I think that they're the prettiest thing? No. Do I feel that they are trying to do the best to try and rectify the area by the planting scheme that they're going to be working on? I do. So I think on balance, I would have to say that I would approve this application and I would like to
Propose it,
yes.
Okay. Councillor Cook, you'll second that. Okay, so we have a proposal and a seconder. Do you want to add any more comment, Councillor Cooper?
It was just regarding, through you, Chair, I'd like to ask what difference, because I think several of us are concerned about the access, what difference the traffic movements are going to be with the new development compared to existing agricultural activity there? What impact? There's already impact, and we're already vehicle movement, so what difference is this going to make?
Are you in a position to comment about the scale of the increased movement?
I can try. That's more my husband's area, but I can try.
Yeah, obviously crossing lane is a concern to all residents. I understand very narrow, tall hedges, and I've driven small vehicles, and that pedestrian is, you have to stop and let them pass. But what we're proposing to do is go in by crossing Lane with Devington, come out the side, turn left, and access one lane. So I'm going in place for a minute and my staff. So basically, we're going one way, come out the right. I understand from Devington to the site, that part of crossing lane is used by horse riders, cyclists, pedestrians, when people seem to access in Greenway. The other half of crossing lane hasn't got pedestrians.
Yeah. I think the question was, to what scale would traffic increase as a result of this development?
We're proposing to use I shouldn't say Tesco, but has the delivery vans. So we'll probably use a small 3.5-ton van, go in, collect 4 pallets and come back.
Okay.
If they need to use tracking trailers, it'll be hard services.
Thank you. Councillor Hood.
Sorry, through the chair, just to clarify, what's the existing traffic movements down that lane?
So at the moment,
yeah,
we've just run construction, we've got some very heavy vehicles there, which may have done some damage, which, if necessary, we'll repair.
Again, through you, Chair. What?
We are aiming just to have smaller...
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously the construction, but I'm talking previous agricultural movement.
Well, the last crop on there was either wheat or maize, and like you mentioned, it comes up there rapidly in one day with very heavy tractors and... I get criticised for all the tractors going through the village. We've got quite small tractors that are limited to 25 miles an hour. You can get tractors 4 times the size rather than 40 miles an hour. So ours are quite small tractors in comparison to the modern tractors we're seeing.
Yeah, I think what the committee is...
Mr. Chair,
sorry,
because Mr.
Bradley's
going to speak, could we have somebody else speak on that point, please?
No, I asked for the clarification, hasn't we? We've got that. So. Okay, Councillor Hood?
Yes, just as a point of interest, can I ask through you, Chairman, does the farm export any of their produce?
Did you hear that question? Do you export from the site?
Generally, no.
No.
We did one lot of export this year, but generally, as a general rule of thumb, no.
Okay, thank you.
So, through you, Chairman, just to come back then, that does... counterbalance some of the green effort, doesn't it? That's the point I was making.
Thank you, Chair. Okay. We have a proposer. Chairman, sorry, Councillor Jones, you did seem to indicate.
No, I just wanted to say, in an ideal world, we wouldn't want any development on our countryside. Unfortunately, we don't live in an ideal world. The Highways Department always never disappoints me, because they always do the same thing, they're always idiots. Who do you think put the sign up that said this road isn't suitable for heavy vehicle? It's the Highways Department, which I point out to anybody who doesn't know, it's the County Council, not this Borough Council. they put the sign up and then they're saying there's no problem. And I hope that if Mr. Busby can do something with that road or trees or whatever, then fine. Thank you for your
okay.
Sorry, Mr. Chair, just before you go on, are we leaving it as 3 months then for the wheel wash? I want to look at John.
The proposal is drops in here unless
I amend.
Yeah. Do you want to make an amendment, to propose an amendment?
Well, I would if it's a reasonable one, and that's what I'm not understanding, whether it would be a reasonable request, because the mud on the road was already awful. I can only say that. But I don't want to make an unreasonable request.
Councillor Wellington, can you help on this?
I can help. As I mentioned in my report, when I spoke on the application, mud on the road in Durrington has been an issue in the past and will continue to be an issue unless we make sure that it isn't. Now, to my mind, there could be a temporary wheel wash put there within 2 or 3 weeks. But because we are going into the part of the year which is wet and muddy, if you can reduce it for less than 3 months, I'm sure that the local, particularly the Stawell Hall residents, but the whole of Durrington would appreciate it.
But on that basis?
On that basis, with the agreement of the proposer and seconder, I would like to reduce that down to 2 months. And I think that's reasonable, or 1.5, but I think 2 months is a reasonable request.
Councillor Trowbridge is recommending that we introduce a stipulation for wheel washing within 2 months.
The amendment to the condition.
The amendment that the conditions are already there. Can the, have I got a seconder to that proposal? Councillor Hood.
We need to take a vote on that first.
So we need to take a vote on that.
Mr. Chairman, just before you take the vote, I mentioned before about the trees and any that fail within 5 years.
Yes.
And I was wanting just to tweak that a little bit more and to say that there's an annual review of the situation by the...
That's an amendment as well.
Yeah,
we'll deal with that separately, OK? Yes, if you could set out your proposed amendment, please.
So, the amendment to be that the wheel wash facility is on site and being used properly within 2 months of the date of the application being accepted.
Been approved.
Approved.
Okay. Is that all right?
Simply change it.
Yes. We have a seconder for that.
Yes.
Those in favour of that amendment? Is against? Well, that amendment is carried, yeah. Now, you want to make an amendment in relation to formalising a formal tree report annually.
Yes, an annual tree report.
So, your suggestion is that there will be a formal condition of trees report annually.
And reported back here.
And reported back to the council.
Yes.
I will second it, but I need clarity first, because else I'm voting against. Is this something we can do within the planning procedure by law? Because that just doesn't jump out as right, I think.
The condition has to meet a number of tests. It needs to be precise, it needs to be enforceable, it needs to be reasonable.
Relevant to the development.
Relevant to the development as well. So, it's not the condition you've seen before. it would have to be phrased in such a word it was way it was precise enough to be enforceable, and it needs to be reasonable as well.
I think there might be some difficulty there.
Well, why put the condition in the first place if it's not going to be enforceable?
They will go and check it.
This one is.
So through you, Chair. It says, any tree which dies or is lost through any cause during the period of 5 years shall be replaced. So it's a condition. How do we enforce that condition?
You can enforce a condition by breach of condition notice.
So who's going to go out and check?
We never have had resources to monitor developments like that.
So what I'm requesting.
We respond to enforcement complaints. So if we've had a complaint that X number of trees were dead, yes, and we have made people do that. But if you think about how many applications we determine every year, quite a few have tree conditions tends like that. We don't monitor development, and I don't know any authority.
So what I'm requesting through you, Mr. Chairman, is that the developer submits that report annually.
I think the developer or the applicant is signalling to me in relation to this. So are you
Chairman, making? As the post planting is right adjacent to the public footpath, I believe it's going to be the public, if it's accepted. And there is trees that do die, I think it will be brought to your attention quite swiftly. So I think you'll have many eyes and ears on the ground at that point in someone. But I'm more than happy to monitor it. But I think there'll be people, residents of horse riders riding along the ground path. If there is a large area of trees die, I think you'll learn instantly.
Okay, is that?
Okay, yes.
Thank you. So we leave the condition as contained in the book.
Chairman, I'd just like to just clarify one point. We don't have a lighting scheme mentioned on here at all, do we? If possible, can we condition that any external lighting is going to be light pollution minimising?
Chairman, condition 10 already covers external lighting.
Okay, so we have a
proposal.
We have an amendment which has been approved.
So
we have a proposal and we have a second.
Subject to that amendment being made to the conditions.
Yeah, well we have agreed with the amendment, so.
Yes, but the approval has to be made with that in mind, so we need to take the vote on the
approval. So we submit the proposal, including the revised amendment. Those in favour, please indicate.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Those against?
On the basis of highways.
2 against.
Okay, so that's carried. Okay, thank you. So that planning application has been approved. Thank you. And I'll draw this planning committee meeting to a...
No,
for this one,
it's
different. I know what I'm doing.